It's time to listen different with Podcast 411, the podcast that brings you the 411 on podcasts, podcasters, and podcasting.
Welcome to the May 26th show. I'm your host, Rob, and this is the Podcast 411 podcast. On today's show, our guest will be Jason Salas from the Digital Pontification Podcast. A couple quick notes before we get into the interview. First, I want to let you know CNET has a place on their music site for podcasters to put up their podcasts. Currently, I am one of three podcasters approved and on the site. If you want to know how I got on there and the information about how to get on the CNET site and get your podcast added, send an email to rob@podcast411.com and in the subject put in CNET. And I'll send you back the link and the information you'll need to get yourself approved and up there and going. Pretty good site with some good publicity. So it's a nice place for you to go ahead and add your podcast. Additionally, I will not be posting anything about this on the site, so only I'm giving out this information via the podcast. Second, I had a great interview with Andrew from the Working Podcast, and at the end of the Working Podcast interview, Andrew turned the tables on me, and he interviewed me for his podcast. So I recommend that you go over to www.workingpodcast.com and check out his podcast. A really good show. And I will have his interview up on Saturday. I think he'll have mine up here in the next week or so. But even before the interview with me gets up there, I recommend that you go ahead and check out his show in the meantime. Well, that's it for the notes today. We're going to go ahead and get right into the interview with Jason from the Digital Pontification Podcast. Here we go. Jason, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
And you know what's coming, and that is, what was your first computer?
Oh, okay. First computer I ever worked on was, I want to say 1984. It was my dad's Apple IIe. And, of course, I'm in Guam over here, so we didn't have, the little hobbyist shops or the build-it-yourself stuff. So my dad was working as vice president of personnel for this really big retailing company, and they have, like, offices all over the world. And so he kind of caught the computer bug, pun unintended, back then when it was, everybody called it microcomputers, and that's when the computer in the home was becoming a little bit more an easier pill to swallow, if you will. Yep. And he basically sat me down one day, and he's like, okay, well, this is how the computer works, and these are floppy disks, when disks were indeed floppy. And, you know, he basically taught me how to program in BASIC, and I kind of just went off on my own tangent in that and wrote my first program in the fourth grade, which was a NBA basketball program. And, you know, I mean, it was the cheesiest thing in the world. It was like, okay, well, you dribble up to the basket. What do you want to do? One drive, two shoot, three pass. Ironically, though, that was the impetus for greater things to come about maybe 20 years later in my lifetime.
Well, that's more intense than most people's first program. Most people's first program was 10, print, high, 20, go to 10,
right,
and then run. It's like, hi, da-da-da-da-da, all the way down the screen. Now, what was the first podcast you listened to?
I want to say about 4 months ago, I listened to Adam Curry's Daily Source Code, of course. And, you know, I've said in my own podcast work that I think if you want to get into podcasting, either from a consumer standpoint or a content producer standpoint, that one should be basically standard issue. Because, you know, he does do a lot of information regarding the phenomenon that is the podcasting medium. But then he also does a lot of stuff like, you know, he does a voyeuristic look inside his life and inside the life of his family to a certain point. You know, he gives you a glimpse at what there is business-wise. You know, he plays a lot of music and everything. So it's a real nice mishmash of content and everything. And so that was the first one I subscribed to. And then pretty much after that, I kind of just went hog wild. Because a funny story about how my company, how KUAM got into the podcasting revolution is about maybe a year and a half ago, I kind of identified these four key technologies that kind of as the company's software architect, I decided I wanted to really research and really see if we could leverage them for our output. Because KUAM is Guam's largest broadcasting company, and we own and operate two television stations and two radio stations. And we also produce like original TV programming and news content. And basically identified weblogs, wikis, podcast and a wireless application protocol because at that point some of Guam's wireless service providers were finally giving people access to the web, albeit in a rather reduced text only format, but over cell phones and everything. And that was pretty revolutionary. And so I wanted to say, let's take my company's news content and let's make it available over cell phones. And, you know, we've done the thing on the web for so many years. We've been phenomenally successful at it. And I said, you know, we can't just stop here. What we want to do is also take our core information, which is news, information, and entertainment, and also also make it available to people in as many different formats as possible and over as many different platforms as possible. And what we'd essentially like to do is give people the ability to access our information no matter where they were on the island here. And, you know, we're only a 30-mile long by 7-mile wide island. But still, you know, we'd like to really have the ability to touch and connect with people no matter where they are and no matter what kind of device they have. And so it was kind of those four different technical platforms upon which I started researching and looked into. And like most R&D projects, I just kind of got into it from a consumer standpoint. And then because I'm a programmer, you know, I tried to take the covers off of each different platform and find out how it works. And then ultimately started playing around with it and started playing around with some models. And then we started podcasting about 2.5 months ago.
Not only are you the software architect there, you're also an on-air talent.
Right. I kind of wear a few hats for my beloved employer. My formal title here is I'm web development manager. So all the online systems and all of our public web access stuff and internal systems, that all falls on my shoulders. And then also I am like you said, I'm a TV news anchor for our nightly newscast. And I also host a sports talk radio program on our radio stations. And then I also do like a lot of writing and reporting for our broadcasts and everything. So it's
And you're a podcaster.
And I'm a blogger and a podcaster as well. That's right.
Do you sleep?
Not well. Usually, if I do, I sleep very, very well, but not for very long periods of time. You know, kind of thinking all the time. I kind of borrowed a line from Martha Stewart when Martha Stewart said, "You know, she basically sleeps with the lights on and with her computers on at all times, so if she's ever enlightened or you know ever feels the muses upon her and everything. You know, you can get up and get right to work right away."
No, I noticed on you also do some sound scene tours.
Yeah, actually, last week I did a sound scene tour because it was one of my coworkers' birthdays. And so after doing the normal podcast later on in that day when I was getting ready for lunch, I just fired up the iRiver 799. And, you know, just did the pretty typical setup. You know, just had the iRiver in my pocket and had a stereo mic attached to my lapel. And it was a black mic on a black shirt, so it kind of looked a little bit inconspicuous. And then just went up to the mall and just kind of walked around and gave people a audible tour of exactly, like, what's going on.
And then
walk past the food court, walk past some of the shops, and people seem to really like that kind of thing because there's a certain mystique about living out here in the islands and living out in paradise that people really have seemed to gravitate towards.
Man, it's not cold, and means if it's warm, that means women are in bikinis. Now, obviously, your promotion of your podcast is working very well. You had the serial question, and I was listening on the serial question, and you had 262 people vote. That's impressive feedback. I mean, that means you obviously have many, many times that as far as listeners. Are most of your listeners coming out of the Guam area, or are you spread, or are you just like everyone else, just spread all over the world?
I'd say probably 95% of our listeners aren't local to Guam, and that has a lot to do with the fact that, you know, we've done a lot as a news organization to try and evangelize the concept of podcasting to people. And I know I've gone up to the local university on a number of occasions and just kind of walked around and talked to students and say, hey, you know, have you ever heard of podcasting? And for the few that have, I say, you know, who do you subscribe to and what kind of content do you listen to? And, oh, by the way, we're going to do some stuff now. And at least with that demographic, it's worked out really well and people have really been open to it. You know, I kind of refer to Guam sometimes in my podcast as, you know, technical Never Never Land, where, you know, a technology doesn't want to grow up. And so as such, you know, it's kind of hard for some local markets to kind of warm up to some of those new media concepts. And so mostly all of the listeners that we get are, you know, from all over the world. I mean, I've gotten some people from Israel write to me, some people from Germany and Japan, but undoubtedly it's in the U.S. mainland where everybody's coming from.
Okay. Well, explain to our listeners about the format and the content of your podcast.
Okay, that's a really interesting question because I've been asked that before, and I've actually gotten a couple compliments from some listeners, and one person said that I like listening to KUAM's podcast because they're really not about anything in particular at all. You know, you listen to the Digital Pontification, which is my talk show, and you get something different every single day. And, you know, one day I'll be talking about what's your favorite cereal or remember this moment from the 80s, and then the next day I'll be kind of like giving like a business plan about where I think, you know, certain technical platforms are going or what's up with podcasting, and then another day I'll be talking about music, or I'll be kind of drawing from my sports background, or I'll just do like a total viewer email show about, like, you know, what are some myths about journalism. And yes, you know, we do wear suits up top, but, you know, quite often we're wearing shorts and flip-flops, you know, kind of like that. And it's again, I tend to draw on the fact that I think why podcasting is working is just the way media has been completely discombobulated by reality television and the advent of pornography on the internet. You know, everybody really enjoys a voyeuristic look at somebody's life. And that's kind of what I do to a certain degree. You know, I give people a look at like what I go through, like having such a diverse background out here and having such a unique job. So I really can't classify the digital pontification in any one particular category. I just say it's a show whose intent is to inform and entertain people. And, you know, if I can spend maybe 45 minutes to an hour with some people all day and just, like, put a smile on their face and say, hey, that guy made me laugh, or you made me think about something, then I think, you know, my job is done, right? Well, let me throw something else in. This is a real interesting thing about the way my company has really embraced podcasting is, you know, we just didn't say we're going to put together like a little pilot project and see if it works. You know, we're going to have, you know, put some little goofy talk show by the tech guy. If 5 people listen, if 50 people listen, you know, great. Basically, everything that I've done here at KUAM over the last 6 years has been proof of concept work. But when I said, you know, once I kind of like really examined the base model for podcasting and, you know, kind of really bought into the whole concept of the last yard, you know, with everybody having really fast, high-speed internet access and always being connected to the net, you can actually have people download essentially what are massive amounts of information at their leisure or, you know, when they're away from the computer. So what we did is we developed kind of a format where we said, okay, we're going to get involved in podcasting, but if we're going to do this and if we're going to promote it, we're going to go all out. And we're really going to test market our flagship information, our core competency, which for KUM is news information. And so what we do is, in addition to producing the Digital Pontification, which is my show and which is week daily, you know, and that's built its own audience, we also have three other podcasts that I produce here. And one of them is a newscast, which is like, you know, 5-6 minutes of just the day's headlines by our reporters. They read them into a mic, and that's 3 times daily. And so we do the week daily talk show with me. We do the 3 times daily newscast. We also do something that's really interesting, and I know a few traditional radio stations have done it. We actually take my sports talk radio show, and then we save that, convert it to an MP3, and then put that up as well as a podcast. And then we also have a digital music delivery service, which is basically, we're creating our own network of pod-safe music based on local artists and local musicians who are trying to get a break and, you know, just don't have the huge marketing budget behind them. And we just tell them, hey, you know, if you want to go through us because we're a radio station and we're very supportive of local musicians and local art and local music, just sign this agreement. You give us the right to play your tracks in our podcasts and release them as MP3s, as standalone units, and have people download them. And, you know, you will get seen and you will get heard. And so it's a real interesting, you know, concept that we've been able to put together as far as podcasting in the round. You know, it's not just us doing a goofy little talk show about the 80s and about cereal. It's, you know, there are some very large implications for it.
What is the website for your podcast and for this music site that you just mentioned?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's music.kuam.com.
Okay. And then how do our listeners locate your podcast?
Well, they can actually get my podcast. There's a whole range of all the XML links on that URL I just mentioned on music.kuam.com. Or they can check out the Digital Pontification on my blog, which is weblogs.asp.net/JasonSalas, JasonSalas. What we're also doing with podcasts is, you know how all the rage about Paris Hilton's podcast was, people really tended to rip on Paris Hilton's podcast because, I mean, it was so promoted. You know, everybody in the podcast community knew about it because they talked about it on the Rock and Roll Geek Show, on Don and Drew, on the Daily Source Code. And then when it finally came out, admittedly, it was less than stellar. I mean, it was just Paris being Paris. But again, I mean, that's the one thing that I appreciated about it, because she wasn't trying to be Connie Chung. You know, she wasn't trying to be something she's not. That's just her. And it was only 5 minutes long, which I know a lot of people ripped on. But I could kind of see, you know, the benefit of making it real short and succinct, because you also make it relevant to dial-up internet customers. And, you know, maybe people can download it without these super fast connections, because the average length of a show is only about maybe like 3.5 megs. But we really took a lot of inspiration from that, you know, just the concept of Paris doing her podcast, you know, regardless of how, you know, it was received. We are actually doing something right now where we're using podcasting as a promotional engine leading up to certain events that my company produces.
That is one of the big target markets, really, or niches where podcasting falls in. I mean, if you own a bar and you have local talent at the bar, rather than sending out a bulk email, have people subscribe to your podcast. Let them know what's going to be playing this coming weekend. Play clips of the live music, you know, the bands that are going to be there.
Right. So what we're doing is, like, there's an event coming up in mid-June, and it's a, you know, like a mixed martial arts fight. And that sport is really, really huge out here in Guam. And so what we're doing is, on TV, we have this, it's like an extreme sports weekly segment. And so what we're going to do is, in 10 days leading up to the actual fights, you know, we're going to have a specially produced 10-part podcast hosted by a real wonderful woman And she knows a lot about the, you know, the whole genre of fighting and everything. And we're going to have like interviews and it's going to be real short. You know, it's only like 20 minutes per episode. But the beauty of that and about with podcasting being time shifted is, you know, not only can people access it whenever we want. I mean, if we wanted to, from a production standpoint, we could come in here and actually produce all 10 parts and then just release it one part at a time, you know, just update our RSS feed. And you know, once the 10 days are up and once the event actually happens, you know, it's no harm, no foul. We just stop doing it. And, you know, we really got a really favorable response from the people that we mentioned it to. And we said, hey, you know, we're going to do something. And, you know, you only have to subscribe to it for 10 days. And with each 10 days, you know, we start building up hype and we start giving breakdowns of the fight card and interviews with some of the fighters and do all sorts of things like that. And, you know, it's only leading up to the event. And then we completely shut it off. And the production cost for us is basically nil.
And the distribution cost is basically nil. So that's even better.
Exactly. Yeah, and we can tap into markets that we never before would have been able to, you know, very easily so. And it's unbelievably wonderful medium for doing that kind of thing.
Jason, thank you for coming on the show.
All right, thanks a lot, Rob. I appreciate it. I enjoyed talking to you.
Well, folks, that concludes our interview with Jason from the Digital Pontification Podcast. You can check out his site at www.kuam.com. Jason, thanks again for coming on the show. If you out there would like to be on the show, please send an email or promo to podcast411@gmail.com. That's podcast411@gmail.com. I do have a clarification to make from the past show with the interview with Nate and Di. There were some comments that Craig brought to my attention, and I do want to clarify because I do agree with Craig that it came across the impression on the last interview that Craig had sent the initial email to Nate and Di telling them to go to church and that they were going to go to hell. Craig never sent them that email. It was someone else. Craig never told them to go to hell. That was someone else. So Craig, I do apologize. It came across that way. It was never meant to be that way. It was just a bad editing job on my part. Again, I apologize. It came across that way. Craig, sorry. At the end of today's podcast, we're going to play a promo from the Five Questions podcast. So please stick around to listen to that. As always, this is Rob reminding you to listen different with Podcast 411.
When people told themselves their past with stories, explained their present with stories, foretold the future with stories, the best place by the fire was kept for the storyteller.
Ever wish that you could be the storyteller? Well, you can at fivequestions.net. Every Monday we post five random questions and collect your answers via email or audio comment line or through our Skype line. And then we put them together into an audio show on Fridays for everybody to listen to. So come on to fivequestions.net, read our questions and tell us your stories, and maybe you'll be the storyteller.